Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
You Cannot Say, a poem written by Jay Hatter and put to music and then sung by Shout Even Shy. Beautiful poem turned into an even more beautiful song. This is Deborah Lee, and you are listening to Atima Voices Radio. We are sponsored by the poet A.P. Taylor, and we all hang out at allpoetry.com, which is one of the biggest sites out there, and it's free to join. If you join or are already a member, you can find us under the group tab, again, a team of voices. Just knock on the door and I'll meet you there. In the chat room, we post the link to all the poems that you'll hear tonight, one at a time, and you can follow along and comment. If you'd like to call in to participate, you can call in at 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And we would love to hear from you. Each night of the week, we have a different host or hostess, and each one chooses their own prompts to stimulate your muse. And if you are in the group, you can just look on the chat wall. All the shows are listed by date. So you find the date you're available and click on it, and it'll tell you what's going on that show that night. And tonight we have just a simple category called a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And I put some really cool pictures in a extremely broad variety. And I'm anxious to see what everybody chose to write for and have them dazzle us as they always do. And right now I'm peeking at a stunning picture that Stephen put on the board. Looks like his lake has a bit of attitude today, but it's still a beautiful picture. But with that being said, let's get this show on the road because we got some people waiting in the background. We have Miss Sky Darkholm who beat me to the studio. Hey, Sky, welcome to the show.
Hi, Deb.
Glad you're here. We have my co-host, my big brother, Hatter. Hey, Hatter. Glad you're here.
Yeah, me too.
And we have the aforementioned Stephen, who is his Cleveland Browns are playing my Pittsburgh Steelers tonight, and his players got hurt really bad. I feel bad. Hey, Stephen, welcome to the show. Glad you're here. And right behind Stephen is Mr. Wayne Gent. Hey, Wayne, welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Glad to be here. Glad to be here.
Last but not least, the one and only Sweet Pea. Hey, Sweet,
hello.
Welcome to the show. Very glad you're here. Thrilled that you are all here. And right this minute, my lineup is Stephen and then Sky. Does anyone else have a time crunch?
Within the hour, Deb.
I've got about an hour.
Okay. The show should only be about an hour tonight, so that's perfect. And let me grab, I can't get over that picture, Stephen. It's so gorgeous. Let me grab your poem. And it's funny because the poem you chose for tonight, the picture that you had chosen for tonight was all full of light, bolder colors. And then this one's all full of color, but it's dark and almost foreboding. It's pretty cool. But I have your poem up, so there you go. Show us what you got.
Yeah, I like the picture that I chose was of a beautiful sunset. So I did bring a pre-write that I wrote on one of the days that Kay and I spent at the beach, and we were there when the sun was setting, and that picture actually on the poem is the sunset from that day. And I call this September's Breath Does Chill the Depths. As gull wings dip into the waves and golden sunlight shimmers, September chills where fish do bathe, discouraging summer swimmers. End poem.
Discouraging summer swimmers. Yeah. The chill does do that, doesn't it? Stephen, that's a gorgeous, gorgeous picture. It's got coppers and golds and brass and goldenrod and lemon and citrine and tangerine. And you know, a lot of people look at a picture that's got one color and think, you know, oh, but if you really look at it and start listing them off, that you're always surprised at how many colors are actually there. I mean, even some butter and everything's better with butter, but you know, yeah. I like right, I like as gulls dip into the wing, like they can clean off their feathers real quick, grab a snack and get out of there before they get too chilly. But I like the visuals and the another like a four liner here, and I see that it's on both of the before and after lists. That's pretty cool. The before and after tens list. You and them four liners. I don't think anybody on the site has as many four line. 10 poems as you do. It's really, really impressive. Great brevity, and I appreciate it. And let me get you a comment from Hatter.
Yeah, it reminded me of the iconic lines, the feelings I get when I look to the west. You know what song?
Oh, yeah.
Cool comment. Very cool. Wayne, what do you think?
There it is. I said, this little cold water wouldn't stop me from getting out there. Sunlight, the waves, what else is there? This is a wonderful brevity. Good job, my man. And I enjoyed it. Great view and great, great poem. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment. And my sweet?
Wayne, just FYI, you've never swam in Lake Erie, and I know how cold it is. This is gorgeous. A beautiful four-liner, as always, but it does bring in a lot of reminiscing, a lot of warmth, and a sense of home for me. So thank you.
Thank you, sweet.
Awesome comment. And I am going to get one from Sky right before she reads hers. But before that, Stephen, why don't you tell the world and that guy in Italy about your book?
Yes, thank you. I do have the book series out, the Erie series. There's three books, the Erie Depths, the Erie Ocean, and the Erie Islands. All take place mostly on Lake Erie. So there's a little play on words there. Available at Amazon.com. Goodreads.com and BarnesandNoble.com, also extending to a few other stores, but that hasn't quite happened yet. I'll have that information for you next week. Also, a book of short stories that I had published called What Lurks Behind the Islands, all available on the same venues. Thank you.
And headed to the Wyman House.
Oh, cool.
I already have it.
Oh, that's cool. That's really cool. And just in case, so I don't forget to say it, send a hug to Kay from us. And Sky, will you comment for Stephen and then read your poem?
Yes, absolutely. I thought this was a beautiful brevity, and I loved how you mentioned the turn of the season and how all of us swimmers now have to wait the long-awaited winter, the start of, you know, the wait for the next time that we could swim in lakes, which I always dread. I also really love the catch rhyme, and I like how you mentioned the gull wings, because I could really picture it in the poem. And you're well done.
Thanks, guys.
You don't want to be a polar bear? You don't want to be a polar bear anymore?
No, but I love lake swimming. I wait all year for it.
Very cool.
All right, so
do you want to tell us about your show tomorrow before or after you read?
I'll do it after. So I just want to say a little disclaimer about the poem, because this is, I don't usually do humor very often, and I feel like if you guys are going to get it, you might need to read the author's notes just a little bit. Just to let you know that chrysanthemums, it's derived from Chrysis, which is the god of, well, personification, Greek god of gold, and Anthium, which means flower, but Anthea is the goddess of flowers. So there's a little bit of stuff in there. If you don't get everything else, you'll have to read, but I kind of just, I don't know, just the humor came over me. I may be the only one that finds it funny, but here we go. When Dionysus and King Midas fell into their cups. Upon visiting Phrygia, there was a wrath about the father of wine. He sat with Midas and Plutus, considering the passage of time. And since they could not decide to call upon the king of Elysium or the prisoner of Tartarus to chime, they continued without answers, but each with a swig and a boast full of pride. They were all a few cups in when the apples of Hera began to appear, blushes of sprightly sunsets with a gallon of Hesperides and a thick flowering hair. Dionysus turned to Midas. You mock the gods. You've gone too far. In return, King Midas leapt. I would not dare. Plucking one from its perch, Plutus said with a glare, these are not woven from the thread of Leyden. How did you come to grow them here? And somewhere in the wind, a bout of jovial voices were faintly heard. As Chrysis turned to Anthea, mum's the word. End poem.
Oh, I think it's cool. I did not read it, but I still think it's really cool. I like, he sat with Midas and Plutus considering a passage of time, and since they could not decide to call upon the king of Elysium or the prisoner of Tartarus to chime, they continued without answers, like kind of building some suspense there, I think. They were all – a few cups in when the apples of Hera began to appear. That made me giggle because, like, okay, there are a few cups in. It puts you in the mind of, you know, okay, there are about three sheets to the wind now. And, you know, it leaves you assuming that maybe those apples aren't really there. We're just seeing them. I'm not sure.
Yes, that is
okay.
Because there were
okay.
There were chrysanthemums. There were golden chrysanthemums that they thought were the golden apples of Hesperides. So they were seeing that's exactly what it is.
Aha, uh-huh. So it kind of like not telling people that you were serving electric punch. And if you don't know what that is, ask me after the show. But, like, yeah, saying school kids, to quote Hatter, and somewhere in the wind, bout of jovial voices were faintly heard. It all sounds too cool. They're sitting there, and like I said, you got to wonder what they started seeing after the apples, for one. And then you could probably picture them looking at each other and their faces distorting or something like that, and they're giggling and laughing and having a good old time. And I love, love, loved the closing. Mum's the word. So that was just, like, very cool. Very cool.
Thank you. Thank you. It was a double entendre because chrysanthemums are often called mums. So, and then when you say mums the words, it's like quiet. So, I don't know. I just, the mood came over me. Thank you, Deb.
Like, mum's the word. I get it. Cool. And let's see. How about I get a comment from Stephen?
Yeah, I like this, too. The way I read it, there's a lot of different words, I think, that mean flowers. So I think it's a pretty cool play on words with a cool rhyme scheme as well. I really like the story-like way that this reads. It's an excellent write, Sky.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. And thanks for coming, Stephen, and don't forget to give Kay a hug. And talk to you soon. And Hatter, you want to comment for Sky?
Yeah, I thought it was really clever to put Hesperides. Yeah.
Hesperides,
thank you. That's sunsets? Goddess of sunsets, is it?
No, a lot of people know Hesperides from the 12 labors of Hercules, right? He goes in and fights the, and then he goes into Hera's garden and steals the golden apple from the tree of life, and that's in Hesperides' garden. They're like spirit nymphs that kind of just protect the garden, flower nymphs.
Like
yeah. So,
oh, okay, gotcha. That's very clever.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Thank you.
And What's a gown?
It's just like a dress. It's just a fancy way to say gown. It's just a gown.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. And so that was supposed to give you the hint that they were really the flowers, but I didn't want to put the chrysanthemums because it would have ruined the punchline in there. So that's. And then Dionysus, the god of wine, and then Plutus is another Greek god of wealth. So, and then Midas, obviously, Midas is the one that touches everything and it turns to gold. That's why he thought he did it. He thought he was turning apples into gold, and he thought he was mocking the gods, but they weren't apples at all. Yeah, it's a conundrum.
It's really clever. When I was in, there was two school plays. I played the lead in King Midas, and the other one was a comedy. I did a lot of sleight of hand, changing apples to oranges and gold flowers to, I mean, colored flowers to gold, everything I touched. It was pretty.
Yeah. Thank you, Hatter.
Thank you. Sky.
Great comment. And Wayne, please.
Yes, I always call them mums. I never used to tell things that they're mums to me. But in this point, I think someone has a green thumb would be my guess. You know, if he would just sober up and so he could see straight, he might get some apples on. Good job.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. Thank you. And my sweet, please.
Guy. I fear what shall come of us now that the gods are drunkards among the flowers, believing such nonsense that weeds are apples of gold.
Every time this happens, something's gone wrong, and now what shall happen to the peasants? Petulant, frogs, what's going to happen? What have you done to us?
I don't know.
You started something. I want another poem to see what's going to happen to the peasants.
I don't do humor very often, and I, my sense of humor is a bit too nerdy, I think, for some people.
No, I think this is fabulous, but you know, when the gods get together and they're a bunch of drunken fools, something is happening to the universe.
Exactly.
That's true. But did you just call me a nerd? For getting your poem?
No, a nerd. Nerd. I said
a nerd.
Oh,
okay.
I said I don't do humor very often, and when I do, it's a little nerdy, so... You know.
I know, and you said it's nerdy and people don't get it, and I got it, so did you call me a nerd is what I was trying to be funny, but...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, there
yeah.
you go.
What is nerd?
I think we're all a little nerdy. So yeah. I have to bring my humor to you guys. I can't go out in the world like that. They just look at me strange.
Funny how that happens in poetry sometimes.
Hello, how you feel?
Or poets, I should say. What were you saying, Hatter?
What does a nerd sense of humor sound like?
I think we can set that right there. I think that's the...
Because I got it, too. I got it, too.
Something about bowing to Zod.
That's what I was saying. I was saying I brought it to the right crowd. That's what I'm saying.
I wouldn't ask. If I knew, I wouldn't have to ask, huh?
Oh, my goodness. Trying to deny the nerddom, huh? All right, before we click on Gerald's poem, how about if we have Sky then Sweet tell us what's happening under us?
Yes, so I'm on tomorrow night at 8 p.m., and I'm doing Shutter Button poetry. So any poem that you have written to any one of my Shutter Button contests, they're mostly photos by me. A lot of them, too, are by my mom. And you could bring one that you entered a contest. You could write a new one. The links, you just click on a link, and you'll just see tons of them. I think there are like 100 contests per link, because I've done about 630 of them or something. So they're all there for you if you want to write a new one, or if you can't remember what you wrote to, maybe the picture will trigger your memory. That's on at 8. Just bring the poem. That's it. It's no homework required. It's going to be really easy for some people that are used to doing all the homework for me. And then on Thursday, at a Poetic Slice, on a Poetic Slice, it is my last show on a Poetic Slice. It is storyboards, Tron Legacy. If you would like more information about the topic, message me directly. You could write to any theme scenes, characters, and or quotes. Quotes can go anywhere you want, even if off-topic, from the topic itself. And I have clips, and it will be fun, and we'll have a great geekdom over there. So, 8 o'clock. That's it. Thank you. Hello?
I mean, yeah, thank you. And before Sweet pushes Thursday, Hatter, you want to tell us what's happening Wednesday?
Well, we're going to do a music show, and no pressure. I guess I have to decide now who it'll be.
No pressure. You can do it by the end of the show.
Okay, thanks. I'll go back to my house. Yeah.
That's cool. Sweet. Tell us what's happening on Thursday at your place.
Thursday is I Used to Be Young. I put up the lyrics to Miley Cyrus's song, I Used to Be Young, and although it is not the set-in-stone prompt, go ahead and read her lyrics and just go by what you feel or how the essence of it makes you feel, and write a poem about some of your life, some of the crazy things you used to do that, you know, people used to walk around and tell me, oh, you're crazy, you're not job, you know, how come you're not doing this anymore, how come you're not doing, well, I'm not dancing on bars anymore because I'm 50-something. So, you know, this is what we're, you know, doing. Actually, I'm almost 60, so this is why I don't dance on bars. But, you know, people that have known me since I was 30 and stuff, and this song kind of traces that. And so it's really kind of cool. You know, I used to be wild, but I used to be young. So just kind of that atmosphere, you know, what's your life like then and now, and, you know, why you have to tell some people, yeah, I don't wear 6-inch stilettos anymore, but yeah, back in my heyday, I did. So it's kind of that kind of world. So check those lyrics out and just give me the essence of what they make you feel.
Jack says cool. I can't talk about
I have to say, on the last show I was on at the same time as Sweet, she left me picturing her trying to hold her little foot up for her shoe to be tied. Now I'm picturing her getting her groove on top of the bar, Coyote Ugly style. Just saying.
Oh God, I love those bars.
Yeah,
some of us were born old and boring. My mom told me I was old and boring. She said, since you were 5 years old, you told me to stop pressing the buttons on the aisle.
Wow.
I have a son like that. Yeah. I have a son now that calls me around 9 o'clock. Mom, have you gotten enough sleep? Yeah.
I think you need a nap, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Too cool. Nap time. All righty then. Let me see here. Wayne, did I let you comment?
I forgot what we were talking about. I commented.
Okay, I wasn't sure. We got a little carried away there. All righty then. If you guys will click on Gerald's poem, I will push his recording.
My Faithful Little Boat, written and read by Gerald Green. The water beckons with its charm, alluring, teasing on a summer's afternoon. Spend time, enjoy my smooth patina, rest among the reeds in Stubbs Lagoon. My humble craft has wandered from its berth and waits beside the flimsy dock, unharmed, adrift and slowly moving with the tide, controlled by nature's steady clock. Like me, she cannot function on her own, but needs a pilot at the helm to cut through threatening waves that otherwise could overwhelm. A squall or two might soon arise, but beams of yellow make it through thick clouds as sunlight warms thin wooden seats and gives the sky its yellow hue. I've left my lover Ruth behind, who doesn't like aquatic scenes because of stories she has heard about wild sailors and marines. I've begged and pleaded valiantly, and yet she's never answered with a yes. So I've renamed my faithful little boat. No longer is it Ruth, but now, Ruthless. End poem.
Okay, that was, you got to admit, that was very cool. Another excellent last line in a poem. And I mean, come on, how perfect. Ruth, but now, Ruthless. Well, I love this picture. And I just wondered who, I actually, to be honest, I thought Stephen would grab it, but I like the story that we got here from Gerald with the spend time, enjoy my smooth patina, resting among the reeds in Stubbs Lagoon. I wonder if Stubbs Lagoon is real, probably someplace in Ohio. A squall or two might soon arise, but beams of yellow make it through. Thick clouds as sunlight warms thin wooden seats and gives the sky its yellow hue. I like I said, the story, the images, the giggle that he left for me at the end there. I think that is very, very clever. And I'm still getting a kick out of that. No longer is it Ruth, but now Ruthless. because, like, she left her behind. She's not into it. Very cute. Fun share, Gerald. Thank you for the giggles. And let's say hello to A.P. Taylor. Hey, A.P., glad you're here.
Hey, Deb. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How about you?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad.
Good. Good. I am going to get a comment for Gerald from Sky. And I have a quick question, though. Hatter, when he said that, did you hear Sky? He must be muted. Sky, will you comment for Gerald, please?
Yes, I thought this was very clever. I also really like the turn of phrase in the name in the last stanza. I thought that was clever. He always brings, like, whenever I see him write for prompts, especially, he takes it in such a creative way and in a unique way, and I always enjoy it. Like, I don't know, there's just a uniqueness about it, and I never expect where he's going to go with his humor, and I enjoy that. I love the details with the squalling, the personification of Ruth and the boat and the connection between the two. And I thought, and by the end, I never seen the ruthless coming. I'm usually the last to get a joke, so but I love it because I enjoy it all the more. Really well done.
Awesome comment. And how about Sweet?
You know, just like Sky said, you never know which way he's going to go. And this is fabulous. This is, you know, a story well told graphically, I might add, about what needs to be ruthless. Because we talk about women scorn, but goodness gracious, a man scorn tells everybody in the world simply by naming his boat.
Very true. Great comment. And Wayne?
Yes. Sounds like a great place I like to visit. Yeah, I want to go visit for a first mate. I don't know if they've been enough room on the boat for the Sula and Ruth both. So I hope I didn't run off because of me and Bud Light. Let's sail, Captain.
Cool comment. And Hatter, what do you think?
I like the way you put the... like me, it cannot function on our own. It needs a pilot at the helm. Yeah, it's just it's a metaphoric idea of, it's just a hollowed out log until you float it. That doesn't sound right, but it's very clever how he did it.
Great comment. And I assume that noise I heard in the background is because of that 70-yard touchdown that just happened. Damn. Let's see. AP, will you comment for Gerald and then read your poem for us?
Yeah, look, it's very clever. The wordplay is lovely. Yeah. And I particularly enjoyed Ruth and Ruthless. I thought that was lovely. I knew he was setting something up with yes, and I still didn't get it. He reads beautifully, and he writes elegantly. It's just a lovely piece.
Fantastic comment. And as you know, since you put it there, your poem's on the board, so show us what you got.
It is. Okay, so this is outline to stage, and it goes a little bit like this. Framed by dramatic orange tones, colours a landscape, outline features. With sharpened rocks to craze stones, below clouds, as if Chagall's creatures. Within the opening of the brief blue interlude, wisps dance and play etched inside. A kiwi hurries behind a butterfly crude, seeking shadows where they can hide. Stage formed of weathered boards tread uneven given the forces hewn. Granite and sandstone roughly scored. Once here waters and sands by dune. Now the rains gather within one pool, reflecting a dark future less certain. As the light weakens in this grand jewel, soon the sun will fall, settles a curtain. End poem.
Awesome. I like from the first line there, framed by dramatic orange tones. The thought of it being framed is really awesome there, because you can see like the reflection towards the bottom, so it really is blank. Yeah, I was going to say flamed, although that would fit too. Framed by the dramatic orange, and a kiwi hurries behind a butterfly crude, seeking shadow where they can hide. Now, I think you had used I'm sure you've used it more than once, but I remember a time when you used kiwi, and I don't think at the time anyone realized that it could have meant a person and not just isn't there a bird over in your neck of the woods that's
yes.
a kiwi too?
Yes, yes.
So,
yes, this is actually the bird. I actually used it. So...
I thought about it, and I'm like, well, I know he's not talking about a person there, so it must be, I couldn't
yeah.
remember for sure if it was a bird or not. It's a,
yes.
I think I've seen them in pictures sitting on the electric wires. Why the electric wires, that's what popped into my mind when I seen it. And there are definitely no electric wires in this stunning picture that you chose.
No, electric wire.
Stage formed of weathered boards, tread uneven, given the forces hewn, granite and sandstone, rudely scorned once here waters and sands by dune. It made me think of how amazing the power of water actually is. It can cut through rock. It can move land. And on the Weather Channel, they were talking about tornadoes and different things of destruction that kill and destroy. And people were trying to guess what was the worst culprit of all. And it is water in the floods, in the mudslides. And so it just speaks to the power of water. And I don't know why it took me to the Weather Channel there, but... it was really about how powerful water is. But this is gorgeous in the images that are all through it. And soon the sun will fall, settles a curtain. It's just absolutely gorgeous. Great share. And Heather, what do you think?
Yeah, I liked it. I liked the reference to kiwis, too. I thought you meant the New Zealanders. They call them kiwis.
Yes.
The where's the part? Stage formed from the weather board. Is it funny how you say that it sort of rhymes in your ear, but they're not rhyming words. Formed and board.
Yes.
Stage formed
yes.
of weather
yeah,
board. I don't know. That's an odd line. How it works. Yeah. Good job, AP.
No. Thanks, Heather. Cheers. And I did put a picture of a kiwi on the board for reference, because that's what I was thinking, the
yeah.
two-legged sort of...
Yeah, the bird, yeah.
...little bushy thing.
Yeah,
yes.
They're funny little buggers with that long nose, and they
yeah.
sort of stamp a duck.
Yeah,
but they're really
quite
cool.
Distinctive, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, it always fascinates me to see the difference... there's certain birds that hang in the East Coast and whatnot, but a lot of them find a way to the West, too, and eventually you wind up seeing so many. But never have I seen so many different critters that I've never seen before when you share stuff that's in the immediate area of Oz. And these are one of those, just an odd little creature.
I really enjoy this. I think it's almost like a cycle. It's like when the deserts are so dry and then the rains fall and then the sun dries them up again. It's kind of like that cycle of life, you know. I love the last stanza. Now the rains gather within one pool. reflecting the dark future less certain. As the light weakens in this grand duel, soon the sun will fall, settles a curtain. I love that stanza. It reminds me of sunset, even though, you know, I just like the sun will fall, settles a curtain. But it just, that's what it reminds me of, is the earth taking its drink and then the sun just sucking it back up. I thought it was really pretty.
Thank you, Sway. Thank you.
Fabulous comment. And Sky?
Yes, I thought this was gorgeous. And I especially love the lines that the stage formed and weatherboard current uneven, giving us the forces tune. And it reminds me of painting. I tend to be a very symmetrical person. I really like things to be even and centered and or mirrored. I just like uniformity. And when I paint, I have to remember the world isn't like that. The world is uneven, and it is rough. It is completely unpredictable. And so those lines especially remind me of that in nature, and there's a beauty in that. There's a beauty in that messiness, I guess you'd say. So a beautiful description, and that particularly just struck a note with me. Really helpful.
Yeah, that's a rule of art. You don't paint symmetric things.
Yeah, it took me a long time. Even
yeah.
I have to tell myself, don't do that. Don't do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Great comment. And Wayne, will you comment for AP and then read your poem for it? Or no, I got you.
Yes,
I got you.
Yeah, you got my sound. Yes, I was kind of busy while you was reading poems. You sounded great, and like you did, you got great rhyme. I met a gentleman today that's on our poetry, and he's listening to us on the radio right now from India, and he's next to the station. He's going to start listening to us, and his name is Ansu. He's from India, and he wanted me to wish his birthday, his happy birthday to his girl's birthday, because it's a birthday, and her birthday, her name is Manella, is her name, and I wish her a happy birthday from the United States.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
That was nice, Wayne.
I hope you enjoyed my poem.
And I'm, Deb, I'm going to disappear while I've still got a voice. So thank you, everybody. And I'll be back soon.
Thanks, AP.
Take it easy, AP.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Oh, and after we listen to Wayne's, we'll have Sweets, Bills, and Angels. And Hatter, I don't see one for you. So we either have those three left or four, depending on whether you have one or not. But in the meantime,
yeah, I put it up there. Okay. I put it up there.
Okay. I'll find it. In the meantime, click on Wayne's and I'll push play. And here we go.
This is called Johnny Was Good. Wind blew strong on a cold December morn. She'd been drinking the day Johnny was born. Was battered and blue. Her dress had been torn. She made her living as an extra in porn. She lived over here and would move over there. Work for drug money. She had little to share. Nobody knew who little Johnny's daddy was. Only time he saw Mama was when she had a buzz. Johnny was six when his mother passed away. He slept in alleys, walked the streets during the day. He would work whenever he could. His life was hard. He would stay for a while before he'd get fired. When Johnny was 16, worked at Cleo's Grill. He would take out the trash. Clean up any spill. That's where he met an old man named Benny. Benny played guitar for tips, but he didn't make many. The day Benny got shot, Johnny sat and cried. Benny gave Johnny his guitar 5 minutes before he died. Benny told Johnny he should learn how to play, and he smiled at Johnny as he passed away. Johnny was a loner. Didn't have much to say. Only time to hear him was when he'd play. Johnny had his own style of playing the guitar. He dreamed of playing in the local bar. Johnny loved his guitar. Quickly learned to strum. Then one day met Tony, a drunk and a bum. Tony showed Johnny how he played the drum. He'd take a shot of whiskey, then play some. Tony and Johnny would practice for days. Tony would stop and watch. Johnny be amazed. Would brag on how well Johnny plays. Tony didn't live long, stuck in his drunken ways. Johnny got a break when a guitar player didn't show. Owner paid Johnny to play the guitar for the show. Johnny played his music for over an hour. Saturday crowd was set on fire. Johnny was paid to play six nights a week. It took 5 months for Johnny to reach his peak. Johnny cleaned up, started wearing a red cape. He recorded a few of his songs on an 8-track tape. His music made its way to the recording studio. In a short time, Johnny's popularity would grow. Recording manager told Johnny he had a contract to sign. Johnny became a star when he put his name on the line. Johnny would open for some of the biggest stars around. One night he played for a concert hall downtown. He opened a show for a rocker named Chuck. Chuck called him Johnny B. Good, just for luck. And?
Wow, what a story. That art really spoke to you. And when I saw Johnny was good, you know, the first thing that pops into your mind was Johnny B. Good. So I thought that was a clever title. And I have to admit, I don't know why, but for some reason, battered and blue, her dress had been torn. She made her living as an extra in porn, and I literally laughed out loud. It just struck me really funny. I think partly because you had this serious tone in your voice, and it was just an extra in porn. I was totally not expecting that. But the details totally brought this story to life, why she worked for the money. And only time he saw Mama was when she had a buzz, which is a really sad thing, and too much of the story for a lot of kids, you know what I mean, that they had to deal with either a drunken or drug addict parent. So there was so much different emotion that came through here. When Johnny was 16, he worked at Cleo's Grill. He would take out the trash and clean up any spill. That's where he met an old man named Benny. Benny played guitar for Tip, but didn't get many. I mean, each detail was vivid and brought that art to life. And again, I say, stanza after stanza seemed to ooze with emotions and stuff, Wayne. You did a brilliant job. And I mean, look at all those stances. You were truly inspired by the art.
No, not at all.
I disagree. I think you told an excellent story and presented it quite well. And you mixed in sad realities with vivid images, and it's a brilliant piece. It's a definite story.
This part of the guitar was kind of nice. And I think about Johnny B. Good off the bat. So I listened to Johnny B. Good, and he's an old country boy from Louisiana. So I made this one about a boy that's in downtown big city. So you could have a little bit of this or a little bit of that.
It was combo. It was combination. Yeah. You had Shooting Star, House of the Rising Sun, Mr. Bojangles to the tune of Robert Johnson. All in wrapped in that.
Yep. Like it.
Keep coming. Was that your whole comment?
Oh yeah. Basically, yeah. I got at the beginning. I got a little Mr. Bojangles, Shooting Star by by a bad company.
Thank
you. But then it was a Mr. Bojay. It was a House of the Rising Sun. Doesn't see his mom and dad, you know. Then House of the Rising Sun. Then Mr. Bojangles gives him the... Yeah, it was a combination of all those. Very good.
Thank you, Ed.
Great comment. And Sky, what did you think?
I thought this was a really powerful thing. And, you know, at the beginning almost broke me. I was you know, like, oh, man, this was terribly sad. And with the work I do, I do work in special education programs, but I more so work in I work more in the end emotional regulation support for trauma with children. And my kids that I have for the past 3 years have really been in that program. They do need, you know, special education support, but it's more emotional based or in a different program because of trauma background. And I think about these kids. And I mean, and this poem, you know, made me think about those kids and think about where they've really started in life. And it is my hope that one day they could, you know, heal and recover from what they experienced. And this is a triumphant story of how, you know, this person was able to survive the death, the trauma that might have been there through addiction and loss and the neglect, and make something of themselves. And I thought that that was very, very powerfully done. Really well done.
Thank you, Sky. Great comment.
Excellent comment. And how about if I get a comment from Sweet before she reads? Are you muted? Sweet?
Yes. Sorry, I was muted. yeah. I mean, this is just another story that makes your heart stop beating and your teardrops fall. And then it goes into all the reasons I personally keep falling in love with Wayne Gent poetry. He has that barrage of emotions at every stanza. You know, this is what happens. This kid's, you know, his parents died at 8. He's sleeping in alleys. You know, he makes his way through this. And then he's on stage and he calls, you know, calls him Johnny B. Good just for luck. And this is, you know, he gut punches you and then he brings you to that high of hope and positivity. And that's our Wayne Jett.
Absolutely. Sweet. Great comment. Absolutely.
Oh,
thank
yeah.
You.
Great comment. Awesome poem. And Sweet, yours is on the board. So show us what you got.
All right. Let me get up there here. Show you what I got. I love this
show
picture,
me,
by the
me.
Way. This is lost
isn't
in the center
beautiful?
Of the room. Yeah, it is. She's gorgeous. An egg disguised as odious love, galvanized in the roots of contemptible ruse, in a moment where lies overpowered lust. I lay down in the center of an empty room, walls colored in shades of grayish blues. Scratched wooden planks of oak uphold my weight. On the walls, flames flicker in shadow puppet executions. Empowered by the fury of Dante's scorn, a cankerous chorus masturbates the inner sanctum, equalizing melody and tonality to set the cortex aflame in misfired electrical shortages, leaving the taste of burnt popcorn lingering on an unsalted tongue. End poem.
Well, you know, I got to say I love the fact that you pulled Dante in there. Dante, empowered by the fury of Dante's scorn, you know, Dante's Inferno, it was just a brilliant, brilliant line to use in this because it does, the color of the orange is so bright and bold that it looks like fire. So I really like that you went there. I lay down In the center of an empty room, walls colored the shades of grayish blues. Scratched wooden planks of oak uphold my weight. On the walls, flames flicker and shadow puppet executions. Like the contrast of this beauty that's standing in there in a statuesque pose, and the flames from Dante's Inferno and the puppet executions, and it's just, I always love that, the way you take something and you bring this poem that's totally unexpected, that just is perfect, yet who would have thought? Well, but the answer is my suite, because, like, you're so good at looking at something and bringing in these metaphors and stories and or descriptions that are so unexpected, and at the end, leaving the taste of burnt popcorn lingering on an unsalted tongue. I mean, you're just such an awesome writer, and I like how you can twist darkness in there, sometimes in a scary, more scary way, like when you eat your twins and stuff, or in these... for these graceful ways where, like I said, I'm just left with my chin hitting in awe. It's, like, very impressive and a brevity nonetheless. Excellent share, sweet. Hatter,
thank you.
What'd you think?
Yeah, everything you said, the Dante Scorn was a good piece. And I did like how it started with the I lay down in the center of an empty room. It's a great line to introduce the rest of the poem. It gives a certain feeling. And if you're in the room, it's not empty. So when you get serious and write, very good, sweet. Very dark.
Great.
Thank
comment.
You.
Grayish,
yeah. Great comment. And I sort of called for the your quote. Oh, okay, I'm good. All right, how about Miss Sky, please?
I thought it was a great poem, and you know, I really liked the line, God. the canorious chorus. I'm having a hard time saying that those two words together. Those two lines are just wonderful language. And, you know, this was fierce. The language, as I said, was brilliant. I especially liked those two lines. I loved the popcorn line. I know that Deb already touched upon it. But, you know, popcorn, the taste of burnt popcorn has such a distinctive taste that you can smell it and taste it and think about it and taste it in your mouth. So I thought it was really effective within the poem. And then to go further and to say without salt, it was just black and dry and bitter. I just really liked that. And perhaps even going even further in saying the lack of salt is in the lack of passion and just reveling in glorious darkness. I thought it was really well done. And comment.
Thank you. Thank you.
Fabulous comment. And Mr. Gent?
Yes. That's it. What great emotions. I lay down in the center of the empty room. That paints a great picture in my mind right there. And then you ended with leave the taste of burnt popcorn lingering on an uncharted tongue. That's great detail. I had to stop and take a drink. My mouth was so dry and my mouth was so dry. I think I'm just reading it. Yeah, amazing poem with wonderful skills and poetic verse is all I know. You did a great job with this. Good job.
Thank you.
Awesome comment, everyone. And if you click on Phil the Poet, I will play his recording, and then we'll have Hatter read, and then I will read for Angel. So here comes Phil the Poet.
Poem by Phil the Poet. Called A Field of Tulips Under Cotton Candy Clouds. Lying in a field of tulips under cotton candy clouds, which turned into a plethora of pouting mouths, a gentle breeze blowing pink petals on the field below, gracefully drifting down like a thousand flakes of snow, transforming the landscape into a woven fairy tale, dreams rising from beyond the mysterious pale. Take a bite out of a Hansel and Gretel windmill. For this one moment, everything seems to stand still. Large marshmallow clouds burning in a campfire, the scent exploding like a woman in wild desire. Smoldering embers vanish like spirits in the night, reflected in the midday sun's goldenrod delight. Ruby lips kiss to make the cheeks blush crimson. Love tries to hold on to another summer season, while I lay here gazing at the candy floss passing by, no sense in thinking or to reason or question why. I'm just happy tracing the sky with my finger, adding the finishing touches to the cloud singer. What images are conjured up with inspiration, tasting the sweetness of nature's decoration. End poem.
Oh, my, my. If you take a look at the chat wall while I comment, you'll see the art that he chose and how perfect his title and descriptions are here. A field of tulips under a under cotton candy clouds. Just the title perfectly describes the art. I like the story, transforming the landscape into a woven fairy tale. Gorgeous line. Perfect line, actually. Dreams rising from beyond the mysterious pale. Take a bite out of a Hansel and Gretel windmill. Wow, wow, wow. I really love that one. Large marshmallow clouds burning in a campfire. The scent exploding like a woman in wild desire. I was like, ooh la la, as we went on here. Ruby lips kiss to make the cheeks blush crimson. Love tries to hold on to another summer season. There was like an enchantment to this, and it was so good. I have to say it again. I really, really loved it. The Hansel and Gretel windmill, because it really does look sort of candied. It could be a top of a birthday cake, and the clouds or the frosting, and or the tulips are. So you just take a bite out of a tulip and a crunch off that Hansel and Gretel windmill, and your sweet tooth is full. I really, really love where he took this prompt. The storytelling, the colors, the impression, the smile that he's left on my face. What a great share. And it's good to have you back, Phil. I know you had guests and you were busy, but we missed you, and I'm glad you're back. Fun poem. Sweet.
Well, you know how much I love walking a poem into the lure of fairy tales. I love any time somebody can intermingle the art of poems and the art of, you know, the tales we were told as children, especially one as dark as Hansel and Gretel. So I know you're, you know, the Hansel and Gretel sweet tooth, but I'm totally on the dark side of that. The Hansel and Gretel call to the witch's house. So if you're taking a bite out of that, or you're being called to the witch to be fattened up. So I love that kind of twist in there. So I think that from your sweet little mind and my little dark mind, we might be reading that a little differently, and that's what I love about it.
I love how you put that. Great comment. Sky, what do you think?
So, kind of going off of what Lindsay said, two of my huge Grimm's fairy tale lover, as you guys all know, but I really am loving the sweetness of this. It's like when I ask you guys to do dark Disney or dark thing, dark twists, or it's like he twisted this the other way around. And I actually really love that. I love that. So I'm like on the end of the spectrum there with Sweet Pea. You know, she's like going through this dark, sinister view of this, and I'm just really reveling in the beauty of it. I was like, oh my gosh, the descriptions were gorgeous. I mean, I could totally be lured in. I mean, if at the end of this you were like, hi, I've got you, now I'm going to cook you in my oven, you would have totally had me, Phil, because I was just really sold.
Exactly.
I was really sold on the description and the beauty of this place. I mean, smoldering embers vanish like spirits in the night. With the golden, in the midday sun's golden rod to light. I mean, how beautiful. And I love that you put Take a Bite Out of Hansel and Gretel. No, I thought that was so clever. Really well done, Phil, as always, of course.
Fantastic comment. And Wayne?
This is a really good point. Phil has a way of has a wonderful voice, and he says his words in a way that there's truth in his voice, and leaves no doubt. It's kind of like clear and honesty. He has a clear tone, and he captivates the reader or listener when they hear his poems. It's magical. I like every stanza. I think it's so cool. Great, great poem.
Awesome comment. And Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, Phil's a great poet. I like the part that I'm just happy tracing the sky with my finger. Reminded me of those famous words. When they called me insane, I just smiled and kept painting the sky.
Oh, cool comment.
Words.
All right. Well, your poem is on the board, Hatter, so will you read for us, or do you need somebody else to read?
No, I'll read it, and it's not up to par. But
are you always,
I'm going to go with it.
I don't ever believe you anyway.
I love the picture. The cello. And it's called The Sounds Were Heard at the End of All This. The sounds were heard at the end of all this, the music, the regions, the things you will miss. When echoes reclaim the songs that pass, beware the dream of the last desperate act. The cello shall start the reaper's last song, confused it knows who's right and who's wrong. The chalice shall fill the sounds so silent, believing this world has become too violent, and it all just seems a bit out of whack if you do just a little of this and a little of that. See what I mean?
You know, I kind of like how you closed with that, because that's what I called the show tonight, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. So I got a kick out of that, for sure. When echoes reclaim the songs that pass, beware the dream of the last desperate act. The last desperate act, it works with that picture, because it's like, because you can't see his face and he's under the hood and it's just so dark, it's got, to me, a sadness. I think it probably was meant to be spooky, but it just seemed like a sadness, or I guess borderline spooky, because you could picture it as the Grim Reaper playing like the last song or something type of thing. The reason, the things you will miss, like the day the music died kind of feel, I guess. The chalice shall fill with the sound so silent, believing this world has become too violent. So I think with what, five couplets, that you packed a lot of emotion into this one, Hatter. Great share.
Thank you. Thank you.
My sweet. Oh, her phone died. Okay. Sky, please.
Yes, I'm going to write, you know, I'm going to say what I wrote with this. Someone finally had enough of us. And I think that's kind of what you're saying. And maybe one day it will come to that, when you're like, you know, believing the world has become too violent. You know, what happens then? Reapers are going to come grab us all. Which, that's what I like about post-apocalyptic. There's always a negative proof that it could maybe could happen.
I like the contrast between confused and knows right from wrong. I like how you wrote confused and knows from it, because it's kind of like a contrast, and it makes you think about what that really means. And I think depending on who's interpreting it, they can interpret it in different ways. And I like that open kind of conversation that you leave the reader with. Really well done.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's like a etch-a-sketch. Experiment over.
Yeah, yeah, wipe out. Thanks. Thanks, nightmare.
Oh, I like that.
Thank you.
An etch-a-sketch. And you're shaking, it's gone. Way cool. Wayne, can you comment for Hatter, please?
Yes, I can. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. That's a great way to end the poem, and how appropriate. The reader's last song has to be the saddest poem of all time. When he saw the saddest song of all time, it can't get no less than the last Reaper's last song. So beware of the dream of the last disparate act. This is a great poem, and I like the band. Did a good job. Good job.
Thank you, Wayne.
Awesome comment.
Yeah,
and we have one more poem for tonight. But before I read that, which is by Heavenly Angel, before I read that, I thought I would put the link on the board real quick to the topic for next week. I figured I had a bunch of different dark folders already made in my drafts. And I thought, okay, well, I was sort of saving them to decide where to go for October, and then it wound up filling up October. So what I thought was that I came up with a clever way to end September and lead into the Halloween season of October by coming up with angels and demons. So if you click on that, you can get a load of the art. It's not quite 50-50, but there's a lot of beautiful angelic pictures. I mean, there's an angel that chopped off her own wings, kind of like a sweet pea kind of moment, although she would be cutting off her twin's wings, ha, ha, ha. But, so, yeah, that's on the board for next Monday night, the last show of September. Now I am grabbing the last poem of the night so that I can read for Angel. And there it is. So as soon as you see that, go ahead and click on it, and I will read for her. See it, Hatter?
Yeah, got it.
Okie dokie. This is called Until Death Did Us Part by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. I loved your sky, periwinkle and cornflower blue, with splashes of almond butter, persimmon, salmon. I loved the way light reflected in your eyes, the way you brushed my hair off my shoulders. I loved a little of this, a little of that, everything about you. I still love you, even now. The wind is shifting. A summer storm is building on the horizon. I can't sleep. Can't keep my train of thought in check. I walk the beach, wasting time. It's abnormal, and I curse the part of me that just can't let go. I imagine you there with summer hair and golden skin. Brother, I wish you were. End poem. Wow. The last line got me, brother. I wish you were, because I wasn't sure where we were going to go. I wasn't positive who she was missing, because she's had a lot of loss, so it could have been a couple people came to mind as she was reading. I still love you even now, and the wind is shifting, and a summer storm is building on the horizon, and I can't sleep. And there's those times when you can't shut your brain down, when you can't get your thoughts in check, and you know, when you are missing someone and the emotions are overwhelming, it's hard to sleep too. You could feel the power of the loss all through from beginning to end. I imagine you there with summer hair and golden skin. I really like that. And the thought, I wish you were. I think there's times we all come to that same conclusion, I just wish you were. Loss is such a hard thing, and until you experience it, you just can't grasp the concept that it never goes away. It creeps in the good things and the bad things. It, you know, when you want to pick up the phone and call that person, and sometimes you even grab the phone to dial and then remember that you can't. There's no phones where they are. And I thought this was really, really powerful. And as always, Angel, it was an honor to be your reader. Thank you for supporting the show. What do you think, Hatter?
Yeah, that's just, it's heartfelt. I wasn't sure who she was talking about throughout, but, you know, it makes me think the sadness of losing somebody. Is that pain worth the memory of what you don't have anymore? It all hurts. It all hurts. Very good poem.
Comment. And Sky, the last comment of the night goes to you.
I thought this is a gorgeous piece. And I loved how you changed tenses. I love how at first tense was I love, and then in the middle of the poem you switched and you even italicized still love. And I think there was something really powerful in that. Like, even though when you talk about people in past tense, the feelings, the emotions, the memory, it's still very present in your mind, as if it's still very much true and in the present tense, even though you're looking through the lens of a memory. So I thought that was very powerful, and there was just something really beautiful in that, and as if the heart was reaching out for some kind of solace. And I thought it had gorgeous details, and it was really well done.
Excellent comment. Wow. What a show. The variety. We had giggles. We had heartbreak. We had loving loss. I love when that happens, when there's such variety that you're up and down and back and forth. We had gorgeous scenery. We had a bit of scary. We had I did hear from Gerald as we were going on, and he said that it actually is a true story. It's a friend of his boat, and his wife just won't go on there, and so the boat is ruthless. So I thought that was really clever. I know that we often incorporate our thoughts and stuff into the poems, but quite often, I love the fact that whenever I ask that question or say, I wonder if this or I wonder if that, that he always, once he listens to the shows, he answers it. For example, if you guys remember the his right from the first responder show, he was in the military. That was true as well. So, like, I thought it would be a nice time to say thanks for your service, Gerald. But, yeah, fabulous show. I appreciate you all very much. The shows are what they are because of all of you. And don't forget to join Sky tomorrow, because, like, I have written an amazing amount of poems for Sky, and I was thumbing through one after another, and then I stumbled across one that still is the favorite poem I've ever written for Sky, and it was about a feather in the yard. So I'm looking forward to seeing what everybody else chose of their work. Got a nice eye, and when she takes a photo, it evokes a lot of different emotions in people, and I've written some fun stories and some deep stories, and like I said, the one I'm sharing on her show tomorrow night is my favorite one I've ever written for her, so join her tomorrow at 8. And again, I have the topic board on for next Monday so that you can pick your art before your favorite is chosen. And on that note, I want to thank our sponsor, A.P. Taylor, also a board member, along with Sweet Pea and my big brother, Hatter. And I want to thank Stephen and Gerald and Angel and Bill and Wayne and Sky for your awesome contributions to the show. The support is very, very appreciated, with love and respect. And Hatter, do you happen to know what you're doing Wednesday? Don't force something. You can just do it by topic if you don't know yet.
I'm going to have to decide. I'll just pay attention to the board. I'll put it up as soon as I can.
Okay, and that would be Wednesday night at 9 Eastern or 6 in California.
Okay.
It'll be an episode of Hatter's Jukebox, and they are always very informative, and there's some great music shared, and he educates us on a lot of great artists that we may or may not have heard of. So 8 o'clock on Tuesday, 9 o'clock on Wednesday, okay. 10 o'clock on Thursday with Sweet Pea, and then I am looking to see, I can't find the board. We'll leave it there for the moment. And love and respect to you all. Thank you so much.
All right.
See you next week.
Thanks.
For Angels and Demons.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what'd you say? Night, everyone. Love and respect.